Hello and welcome to episode 517 of Fergo on the Freak. I'm that bloke from Rugby League Project, Andrew Ferguson. You can find me on Twitter at AndrewRLP. And join me as always is the glorious League Freak, who you can also find on Twitter at League Freak. How you going there, mate?
Going very well, Andrew. How are you?
You know, this man winning back-to-back games. Life's pretty cash, pretty chill. I wonder if I was thinking just the other day, I wonder if we're losing listeners because they're just not getting the rage anymore, and that's probably what they tuned in for.
There's that possibility. I guess I could try and go back to being the fucking psycho.
wait, you stopped?
How dare you?
So perhaps if this sort of run of form continues with the Tigers, maybe I can take up the baton for another club.
Yeah, well, you know, the one that gets me is the Titans. Like, what a pathetic fucking joke of a club they are. So that'd be a good club to go with because they'll never be successful. They're just a bunch of fucking part-timers. See, I'm already angry about them.
That's good, see. We've found our next task, I guess, because let's be honest, we got exactly what we were after with the West Tigers one. Took a few years.
Yeah.
But we got what we wanted. So I can only say that we're influencers in that sense.
We really are.
And the proof is in the pudding. We were right as well.
Yes, yes.
So if you need someone to fix your club, get in touch.
How good is that part-time coach?
Wow. How easy is coaching?
Just does it when he feels like it.
Just turn up every now and then, have a sleep in.
I mean, I know Dean Ritchie wakes up every day feeling like a fucking asshole, but he must really feel like a fucking asshole after back-to-back wins by the West Tigers, after he bagged a coach who hadn't coached yet. Well done, Dean, you idiot.
Yeah, you're really on the ball. You know your football. Go back to being irrelevant now. Pot plant.
Now, we got a very special email over the last week. And it's from an Irish rugby league person, an actual Irish rugby league person called Owen, right?
Yep.
And he spells Owen the correct way, the way that the Lord up above meant for us to say the name Owen, not the way that those idiots across the pond from them say it with O-W-E-N. That's not how you spell Owen.
Owen
spells his name the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. He sent us a message. It says, "Hi, lads. I hope you are well. Really enjoyed the content. Felt inspired to drop your Dean Ritchie-related request into ChatGPT as follows." Now, he actually went back through what we said on the podcast and wrote down word for word what we said. So I'm going to say word for word what we said because he wrote it down, and people will remember this. And we said, "Give me an article for a report on a rugby league NRL game, but it does not talk about the result of that game at all. The article can speak about anything at all except the result. I need it." This is what he put into ChatGTP, by the way, or PT, you know. "I need it to sound really whingy and slightly bitchy as well. I need it to mention the words 'this masthead' repeatedly without clear meaning to the word. I need to praise Peter Volandis, the current chairperson of the NRL, and I need the article to really suck up to Peter Volandis. I need to wrap the article up by praising Dragons coach Shane Flanagan, saying he saved the world. I also need to criticise West Tigers coach Benji Marshall for spending time in his evening with his kids and not working hard enough. The article must reference Ricky Stewart, the head coach of the Raiders, noting he is a god amongst men. And no pressure should be put on him in respect of actually winning rugby league games, right?" So,
let's be clear. What you're doing here is a one-stop shop that's going to completely end Dean Ritchie's career.
This is basically every single. This is like putting every single rugby league article that's in the Telegraph, right, into a blender and you just skim the top off. You just, you know. So this is what it come up with.
Oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good.
The response that come up in ChatGPT, this is a real thing that happened. The enigmatic, it's called The Enigmatic Tale of NRL Beyond the Scoreline. So here's the article. In the electrifying saga that is NRL, there exists a realm beyond mere wins and losses, a landscape where the whispers of destiny mingle with the echoes of ambition. This masthead, delves into the depths of this enigmatic universe where heroes and villains alike tread the hollowed turf with both grit and grace. First and foremost, let us bow before the indomitable Peter Volandis, the visionary architect of the NRL's resurgence, with his unwavering determination and boundless charisma. Volandis has...
Could I just say, paywall?
I know.
Perfect.
Volandis has breathed new life into this masthead. His stewardship, akin to that of a modern-day deity, has steered the NRL ship through stormy seas into calmer waters. But alas, amidst the glories of Volandi's reign, shadows loom in the form of the ever-fluctuating fortunes of our beloved teams. Take, for instance, the Dragons, led by the sage-like Shane Flanagan. In the crucible of chaos, Flanagan emerges as a beacon of hope, a savior whose tactical acumen transcends the mere mortal realm. In his hands, the Dragons soar to heights unimagined, proving that even in the darkest hour, redemption is but a pass away. Yet as the light shines on some, it casts a shadow on others. Enter Benji Marshall, the prodigal son of the West Tigers. While his prowess on the field is undeniable, whispers abound of his dalliance off it.
Dalliance with his family. This is stunning.
This is amazing, isn't it? This is fucking amazing. Okay. Is it not a travesty that while the Warriors train under the watchful eye of the rugby league gods, Marshall fritters away precious moments with his kin?
I love this too much.
This is the best thing ever. This masthead implores Marshall to heed the call of duty, for greatness awaits those who dare to chase it. And what of Ricky Stewart, the enigmatic maestro of the Raiders? In him we find not just a coach, but a titan amongst mortals. Let it be known that Stewart's genius transcends the mere pursuit of victory. To burden him with the mundane expectations of winning games is to diminish his divine essence. Let him roam the sidelines unfettered, for in his presence rugby league finds its truest form.
All I can hear right now is the sound of a bunch of mainstream journos absolutely wetting themselves.
As the final whistle blows and the echoes of battle fade into the ether, let us not reflect on the scores etched in the stone, but on the tales woven in the fabric of NRL lore. For in this grand tapestry where triumph and defeat dance in eternal harmony, we find the essence of what it means to be truly alive. So here's to Shane Flanagan, the guardian of dreams, and to Peter Volandis, the shepherd of the NRL's destiny. May their legacies endure, and may their stories inspire generations yet unborn. That's the end.
Oh my God, that is glorious.
Oh, shit. That's amazing, hey?
Oh, man. You've got to put that up on your website.
I will. I'll put it up there. I purposefully, I kind of skimmed it a little, but I didn't read it like that. Because I wanted my first reaction to be on the podcast. And that's, oh my God.
That's glorious.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Anyway, so Owen says superb stuff. The real question is, am I now an NRL level journo?
Yes.
That is way better than anything I've read in any mainstream media anywhere about rugby league.
It's insane how you can now get a computer program to just sum up 25 years of mainstream media journalism in rugby league in one article.
That was amazing.
That was stunning.
Wow. Anyway, so if we put
that up on your website, can we nominate it for a Walkley Award? I think we should be up to.
I feel like the Walkley Awards, because it's the journalists rewarding themselves, so it'd be something to do with their
point. You've just anointed one person as a journalist.
Owen's the greatest rugby league journalist ever.
Like he's absolutely nailed it. We're going to put him down. We're going to nominate him for a Walkley for rugby league journalism.
That was amazing.
Oh, I'm absolutely in awe.
That was so good. He says, so this is Owen now. Yep. He says, additionally, I was interested in your comments on the Irish rugby league scene. I want to confirm your comments on the game really struggling still with little to no attraction in the public eye. I would say it's barely a top 20 sport in Ireland behind the big four in Gaelic football, hurling, soccer and rugby union. Sports like tennis, basketball, badminton, American football and paddle. Never heard of that. Are considerably more popular in Ireland. I estimate that there are less than 500 active rugby league players in Ireland across all age levels, with the vast majority of these being affiliated with rugby union clubs compared to 95,000 union players. The growth of league in Ireland post-COVID was the result of the game being a summer sport in Ireland, whereas union is a winter sport. This has died as union has re-established itself. For example, my own club, the Mighty, and he spells it out for me, which is really cool, Clondalkin, so Clondalkin Crusaders, have gone into hibernation as our players return to playing rugby union. Rest in peace, in PCOGs. Secondly, union is reasonably strong so that it minimises the potential growth of Irish Rugby League. Union has a fight on its hands for interest, but I would say the average Irish sports fan is not remotely aware of the NRL or even the difference between league and union. Lastly, Rugby League in Ireland as an organisation is very amateur and don't have the structures and processes you would hope to see. Unfortunately, I can see a day where the sport dies completely in the country, with the national team being represented by players who qualify on heritage grounds. I have no issues with heritage players used as our country is very ethnically diverse, but I would like to see at least a few Irish-born players playing in the national side. I want to say something positive about Irish Rugby League to close, but we are more fucked than a team with Anthony Seibold at the helm. And it was in sport, Owen. And he sent me another email about the strengths of where rugby league is compared to some of the other sports and stuff. And he went into a lot more detail and stuff. And I think that the thing about, like, when you get information from somebody that's actually in Ireland and is Irish and is involved in the rugby league scene there, it angers me when I think about what we see at the World Cup and what we see out of the International Rugby League, because you get people in the International Rugby League who are trying to sell something that isn't real, right? And so then you've got this Irish rugby league team that they chuck in all these heritage players, and it's not really Irish players. It's not players from Ireland, right? Mm-hmm. And so they make this big song and dance about, this is Irish rugby league and look at it and blah, blah, blah. And in doing so, they take the focus and attention away from the rugby league that is actually in Ireland and how much help it needs. And that's what pisses me off about those sorts of things. And it's the same thing with Wales. It's the same thing with Scotland. It's the same thing with Italy. Like,
they do it also with France.
Yeah, that to an extent they do.
Well, France obviously has a bit more say over, and they you know, rightfully so. They've got a little bit of control of what goes on there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you heard, but you know, the coming up in the middle of our season, they're going to be having an international double header was initially the plan in France. It was going to be England versus France. The women's game was going to be first, followed by the men's game.
Yeah.
Do you know what they've done? They've changed that program. Just like they've added another game.
What?
The first game is now the women's game.
Yeah.
Second game is the men's game, England versus France, both of them. Third game, Featherstone versus Toulouse.
What?
Yeah. So the main event is Featherstone versus Toulouse, which means that all of the players who are in the Toulouse side are unable to play for France.
Yeah.
So they've weakened the French side, which means England will probably go out and absolutely trounce them by an even bigger margin. And then we know what will happen after that. England will come out and say, why do we even bother playing France anymore?
Yeah.
Who are they going to play?
England says that about everyone that's not Australia, you know?
Well, yeah, that's right.
I mean, they even say it about the Kiwis. It's hilarious. England doesn't think that anybody except Australia is good enough to play them. And then they wonder why no one takes them seriously. But, yeah, that like, look, that's why I don't like these, you know, make-believe teams that run around and talk about, like, because they just don't have any connection to rugby league back from the nations that they actually represent. We saw it. Remember, we saw it with the United States team a couple of Rugby League World Cups ago, where the actual United States players qualified for the World Cup. And then the World Cup gets here and they didn't select any of them. They just filled it with a bunch of blow-ins. They played pretty well together, right? There was this big song and dance, but this team had no connection to United States Rugby League. When the World Cup was all over, they all went back to their own countries. The United States Rugby League was left with nothing and was in a worse state because of it. That's why when you hear me talking about these teams that are brought together with heritage players, it pisses me off. And I've seen enough of this shit, and you know that. I mean, I know you've seen enough of this shit as well, that there's just no wiggle room on the fact that your national team has to be a national team. Otherwise, it's just a fucking waste of time. And it kills me to think that, you know, it was, 18 months ago, we saw an Irish test team running around in the World Cup, and then you hear from somebody in Ireland that's actually involved in it, and it's like, man, we're in dire straits here, and that World Cup did nothing for them, and that's fucked.
And that is because it was another World Cup in England, and how many of the games in that World Cup did they take to Ireland, Wales, Scotland?
Exactly.
You know, why not? Because the people of Featherstone needed that more?
And the thing is, too, like, we talked about how many teams shouldn't have been there, right? And like we talked about Scotland shouldn't have been there. Ireland was a team we shouldn't have been there, right? We said that. And when you hear from someone on the ground, that's right. You know, it sounds mean. But if there's only a couple of clubs that are involved in the game there, they're not in the right place to be participating in the World Cup. Other things need to happen before that happens. And when you have a team that you say is representing nations like Ireland, you're just papering over it. You're just pretending so that you don't have to do real work. And that shit is what pisses me right off. Because I would love nothing more than for Ireland to have a really strong local scene, for Scotland to have one, for like Italy to have one. And while you have administrators playing make-believe and trying to put on this persona that things are better than they are, the real work won't get done. And that really angers me.
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, how awesome would it be if we could watch competitive games between Wales, Ireland, Scotland, England, France? Mm. Just kind of like we get, you know, it's mad because you say that. And people go, oh, that's never going to happen. And you know what? You think back 25, 30 years, and you say, what are the chances that we're going to get competitive games between Australia, New Zealand, Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Papua New Guinea? And, you know, if you put the effort in and you stick with it and you're committed to it and you do everything you can to foster that and help the game grow there, look what happens. You know, and England will go out and, you know, you get a lot of fans will sit there saying, oh, it's okay for Australia. You know, the game's so much stronger than you going, yeah, it is. But you know what? You've got three times more population than us. You've got one of the biggest financial centers of the world there. And how do the TV deals rate for the two of them? You know, we've got teams like the North Queensland Cowboys who have to travel to, you know, Auckland and to Melbourne and to Sydney and, you know, Canberra.
Yeah.
How many Super League teams are traveling that far?
Yeah, exactly.
And the one team that they've got traveling that far, they're trying to make them pay for the travel costs for every other team that's got to go to France.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, let's try and kill the one team we've got in our expansion that's been successful. Let's try and hamper them even further. You know, we're all pro expansion until the expansion team is pretty successful. Then we've got to fucking get rid of that real fast. You know, just like they did with Toronto, wouldn't help them out when they had a chance. But if it was Bradford, don't worry, fellas, we've got your back.
It's absolutely crazy, and it drives me insane because. You know, we've seen, like, time and time again, there have been people in different countries and different areas that have really tried to get something going and they haven't had the support. And then we've also, on top of that, seen these fake gestures that have been done by rugby league organisations and administrators, and they make believe that there's this thing happening. And that's why you and me, when we look at going over to Las Vegas, and we're like, let's just wait and see. Because we've seen this shit happen over and over again where people say, oh, this is going to be the start of something amazing. And it's bullshit, you know. And anybody that wants to, you know, think about what I mean, Origin went over to LA in 1987, zero come out of that, nothing.
Yeah.
And we've had so many ventures like that. And so when we sound cynical, it is based upon years and years and years and many, 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 many different moments where we've seen the game put on a show and pretend it's doing something real and it hasn't done anything at all.
You've raised the perfect one. America's the perfect example because every single time the international game, the Australian game or the English game have shown any interest or made any sort of attempts to get into America, it's been fleeting. There's been no follow-up. There's been no genuine attempt to do anything decent there. And none of them have ever provided any support to the local competition there in the slightest.
Nothing. It's just like, and they pretend that they are. That's the thing. And they're not. Like, anything that good that happened out of the Las Vegas venture, it was because the local people in North America used it as a focal point for themselves to meet up, to organize things themselves. They had some games there and they did it themselves. They didn't get a fucking dollar out of the event from the NRL. And like, if you think about how many times we've been to the United States, has it ever been more than a one day commitment? Like Origin, one day, 87. They're never back for that, right? Las Vegas, one day, doubleheader, boom, not back. You know, nothing else. Till next year when we'll be back for another day. The test match between England and New Zealand in mid-season in Denver, right? Oh, huge moment, one day, one game, boom, done, never back again. So, and it's not good enough. And so that's why people that have been around long enough, you and me included, when we see these events, we're like, yeah, you know, we're skeptical, but we're skeptical for a very good reason.
Absolutely. It's when you see it, and we're not even talking about over the last 10 years or so. I mean, even when you talk about, you know, we went there in 87 with Origin, that's not even the first foray. Remember, In 1910, we had administrators in the game saying we need to look at taking the game to America. And others within the game said, no, that's stupid.
Mm.
In the 1950s, when France, after having their game completely deleted by the Vichy government, bounced back stronger than ever. And they said, we're going to create a World Cup and we want America involved. And every other country, Australia, New Zealand and England, all went, no. France persisted. We will bring them over to France. We'll play against them and we'll prove that they're competitive enough to be in this World Cup. We'll make it a regular thing. And they stuck with it to the point that the Americans, they didn't win the game. They lost 19-0 from memory. But they still got denied an involvement in the World Cup. But it lit the fuse to have people take the game seriously in America. And they created a team and they had a tour to New Zealand and Australia. And then nothing again.
Mm.
But every time someone picks up the ball, and it's usually on the international stage in the past, it was often France. They pick up the ball and say, right, let's do this. And they get the ball rolling. They get things happening. So, right, somebody else, help us out. Join the run. And they go, nah.
No one does, yeah.
And then it dies. And then we wasted, 30 years to go back there with Origin. And then, another 4 or 5 years? And then we had a sevens tournament. We had the Americans come over for that. And then there was nothing for another decade or so. And then we went back again for another. And then, you know, you go back another decade later for that England-New Zealand test. Mm-hmm. And then nothing. And you go back 8, 9 years later for the NRL game. Like, we're not taking the game seriously over there. And when you keep doing that often enough, eventually the people over there will just go, oh, these blow-ins are here again.
Yeah, exactly.
But what should we take care of? What should we care about what they're doing? And all you're doing is just harming the local game. You're not doing anything to promote your current one. You're just not. And yeah, you know, the Vegas one worked all right this time around. They're going to do it for 5 years. And so it might turn out all right for the NRL. But what's it going to do for the local competition?
Yeah.
That should be the main focus.
And it really should be. It should be to flow into that. And it just won't be. It just won't be. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again. And it just sucks. That's why whenever you find rugby league, I mean – like Owen sent a second email and it's another very long email. It's has so many like interesting points about, like he says here about, there are about 200 rugby union clubs in Ireland. In contrast, there are 5 established rugby league clubs and 4 to 6 other temporary clubs who occasionally compete. He talks about like the size of Gaelic football there. He talks about how, like, the in terms of rugby league, Ireland standing in the national sports pecking order, they do not have a central training centre, a single clubhouse or ground. In contrast, the Irish Rugby Union have head offices in Dublin City Centre, a 50,000 seat national stadium which they share with the Irish Soccer, and a state of the art performance centre in West Dublin, at the National Sports Hub, like. And this is why I've never listened to the talking heads. Talk to people that are there. You know, it's always about talking to people that are there. Because these people, like Owen, like love this weird sport that no one's heard about. And when as soon as they say the word rugby, they go like, oh, yeah, rugby. It's like, no, not that rugby. It's a different sort of rugby, right? And they wear these weird jerseys from these weird teams that no one's ever heard of. They might even be from weird places on other sides of the world. Like, there's a Newcastle in Australia. They're fucking North Queensland Cowboys. What are they, right? But they love their game as much as anybody that you or I know. Maybe even more so, because they've got to go out of their way to find this game. And they've got to go out of their way to play and train and... It's not the first sport that's on their doorstep like it is for people in Australia. It is this weird sport that they're training on a paddock that maybe doesn't even have goalposts up. And we've got to support these people rather than getting behind fucking talking heads at International Rugby League who just play make-believe and they do it to feather their own nests and it results in nothing good for the game.
Absolutely agree. But, you know, when when we've got a timid international game, English Rugby League doesn't know what it's doing with itself anymore. What they're doing with their rules at the moment, they're confused. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know how to promote the game in their own country anymore. And sadly, and I'd even say wrongly, a lot of this stuff feels like it's starting to fall on Australia's shoulders because they've got the money.
Mm.
But it shouldn't be that way.
Like, no.
There's no reason why the International Rugby League can't be doing more to promote the game in America. Why can't we have more games played in America, televise them, you know, try and organise something to take place over there? As I said, we should have been looking at having perhaps the Emerging Nations World Cup be played over there. Or, you know, why is having a World Cup played across the entire America, so Canada, America, possibly even Jamaica, you know, something like that? Why can't that be considered or looked at?
Well, if we're going to have a much smaller World Cup, which we needed to have, and it's going to be a more focused event and it's going to be quicker, and we can set up an event where two NRL clubs get, what was the crowd? It was about 40,000 people in Las Vegas. If we can do that, surely we could have a World Cup that goes for a month or so with fewer games where you're playing it maybe across the southwest of the United States, so that the time zones line up pretty well, and have them in different cities so that you have an event that's actually pretty good, that people across the world can see on TV at a fair time, that are getting crowds. And, I mean, look, if you get, say you get 5,000 people to a World Cup game in the United States, is that any better or worse than 5,000 people that went to the World Cup in fucking England? Like,
that's right. I'd take the one extra person you get out of the US, because that's one person who's probably never paid for a ticket to go to a rugby league game before.
Exactly. You know, and if you have them in the right places, I think you could do that. You know, if you have it, instead of like trying to be one event in a big city, go to somewhere like Austin, where you can actually try and get an event together and do something and get some attention and things like that. I think it could be done. And it's got, as you say, it's got to be more useful to us than just playing these World Cups. It's like, I wonder where we'll have it next. Will it be in England or Australia? That does nothing for the rugby league. It's fucking boring. The last World Cup was so utterly boring. It was terrible.
It was a chore to watch.
It really was. And I'm telling you, I watched all but, I think there was one or two games I missed, and I watched them on replay. But outside of that, it really was a chore to watch. And
it won't be that much different if they're playing the whole thing in Australia. It won't be that much different again, because the last one in Australia was basically dull. What's your biggest memory of the last World Cup in Australia?
Exactly. It was, yeah. You know what? If immediately I went to was like Tonga playing against New Zealand, and that was in New Zealand.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so we've got to, you know, we have these great vehicles in England, in Australia, and with the World Cup. We've got the Magic Weekend in both. Why are England not taking the Magic Weekend to Ireland one year, Scotland another, Wales another, France another? What's the point of playing it in Leeds? Leeds already got a team and they're already watching the game. Why take the Magic Weekend there? There's no point. It should be used as a promotional thing, just like we should be doing in Australia with the Magic Weekend. Don't take it to Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
They love the game already. Take it somewhere else. Take it to Perth. Take it to Darwin. Take it to, I don't care where, Adelaide, wherever. Take it somewhere different. You know, but use it as a promotional tool to try and drum up a bit more support and a bit of notice. Take a World Cup or a tri-series or a quad series or something like that. Take something of an international standard that means something, that is important. Take that to America. Show that we're serious about it and that we see America as a serious place where we want rugby league to be, not some place where we look there to just go and, you know, pilfer pockets and then run away again. Because no one respects that.
No, no. And it grows nothing. And
how much do you think Americans are talking about rugby league right now?
Listen, I tell you what. After the Vegas event, I have noticed that there are – I've seen things on YouTube where there are sports people – not sports people, but people that talk about sport that are mentioning the NRL a lot more than used to happen, right? So there is some awareness that has been broken through there on some level. But I don't think people are talking about like, oh, you know, have you seen this new sport that's coming here? Because it's not coming there. You know, if it turns up once a year, that's not really anything.
No.
You know, so.
Have we got a TV deal?
No.
In the US?
Not really. It's the same deal that was in place before.
It's dumb. I would take it to the US somewhere. You could put it on the screens there for like $100,000 a year or something. Like absolute bargain basement thing. Just get it being watched.
Well, one of the things I saw somebody that was in the United States who was talking about the event, they were saying how like they went to it, they enjoyed it. They talked about the differences and the things they liked about it. And then they said, you know what, I went to sign up for the NRL's app so that I could watch more games. And it was so expensive that I just was not doing that for this new sport. So there is that to consider. I don't know why. Like, wasn't there a thing last year where it turned out that the NRL, like the Watch NRL app in for Brazilian people that wanted to watch it was like fucking outrageously expensive for them. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was. The more I think about this, man, the more it just frustrates me.
yeah, that's the thing. That's exactly how I feel too. That's exactly how I feel. Like if the NRL was going over there and they were saying, listen, 5% of the ticket sales are going straight to the United States Rugby League, you'd be like, oh, that's something, you know?
That would actually be very, very good.
It'd be great.
That would be useful. That'd probably be one of the biggest, you know, moneymakers they get for the year, and it would cost the NRL bugger all.
If the NRL said, we're going over here, right, every single dollar we make is going in our own pockets, but we're donating $50,000. To the United States Rugby League. Something. Just something. But there's nothing at the moment. And that's why we can't get pumped up about the NRL in Las Vegas. Like, just can't.
100%.
Do you think that we should... I think we should start something here, right?
Yeah.
I think we should have maybe a... Fergo on the Freak Hall of Fame, right?
Ooh.
And I think that Owen should, like, first of all, Nadine, like, she's in it, right? Because it's kind of like a team, you mean, Nadine. So she's in it. Like, she's got her own wing in the Hall of Fame.
Right? Well, we kind of have. I mean, she actually owns the building.
Yeah. We're paying rent to Nadine
for the Freak Hall of Fame. She's the CEO.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't sack us.
Please. We love our jobs. Please. Yeah. But I think Owen should be our first inductee because what he's given us in this article, which I'll put on leaguefreak.com when we finish recording, is so top shelf that I think that Owen should be the first inductee into the Hall of Fame.
I'm with anyone who can replace anyone in the mainstream media with satire and with such little effort, definitely 100%. You're straight in there.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Owen. Yep. You've done a service for not only us, but for the wider game. You've done more than the International Rugby League ever has. And
actually, I might have a task for him.
Okay.
Next time you get to ChatGPT, ask it how it would fix International Rugby League.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a really good one. If you could do that for us, Owen, and we'll read that out on the next episode and see what it comes up with.
Yeah, we've not put many parameters on that one.
No. You do what you think needs to be done, Owen, because you handled this bloody perfectly.
Absolutely. We'll leave that there and see what the I like to call ChatGPT, either Skynet or the T-1000.
I like Skynet. Hey.
I think we need to feel threatened by it. So let's see what Skynet's got. See how it solves it.
And it's like other parts of my life. I need to feel threatened to get hard. So it's let's go with Skynet.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
Speaking of being hard, Andrew, tell me about what it was like on the weekend to watch your mighty, mighty Tigers beat the Parramatta Eels, and it was done with a missed penalty kick by Clint Gutherson. I saw one Parramatta fan saying that people need to stop hating Clint Gutherson because 17 other teams would love him in their lineup, which is pretty funny.
Are those 17 teams in England?
Yeah, I know, right? He's talking about fucking Ron Massey Cup teams. But what was it like for you? Because your team has been not good for, when you think about the last, I don't know. What
20 years?
120 months.
keep going.
It's been 120 months, dude. So what was it like? What's it like to be in the race again?
I'm going double that. I'm saying it's worse than that. just like it was last the week before.
Yeah.
The resolve in defense, it's all I wanted to see this year was to see their defense have some fucking ticker.
Yeah.
And stop leaking so many points. And they've done it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And they haven't done it against teams that are absolutely garbage either. Like the Sharks, for the last few years, say whatever you like about, how they perform against top sides. Mm-hmm. But against the bottom sides, of which the Tigers definitely have been one of those for quite a while, they don't just beat them. They put the sword to them and they annihilate them. And that's what they've been doing for a while. And the Sharks' attack has also not been garbage. They've been able to put on plenty of points the last few years. And to keep them to one try, that's what impressed me about it. And then to come up against Parramatta, sure, Parramatta didn't have Moses there. But the one thing Parramatta's always has got, and Penrith knows this well enough too, is forwards running on different lines. And that's usually more than enough to create enough gaps later on in the second half to put some points on. And the Tigers' defense would not allow them to run those lines with any sort of vigor. They kept moving up and shutting it down before it got too entrenched and making too much damage. And they didn't know what to do outside of that. And Parramatta I think in the first half, they did not respect the Tigers at all. Mm-hmm. That's clear. Because look at the possession stats they had.
Yeah.
They dominated every statistical area and comfortably. And yet it was, 12 all halftime? How were they not ahead by two or three tries?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I saw when I looked at that, I went, as we know with every single game of rugby league, if it's lopsided at one part of the game by the end of the match, it'll even out a bit. And if the Tigers get close to, Parramatta stats, they're probably going to get ahead. Because, if they're drawn now and they're going to get more position in the second half and Parramatta's going to get less, it stands to reason that they might be able to get in front. So it's the first time I remember looking at a Tigers game against Parramatta feeling hopeful at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy that hope wasn't betrayed.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I felt the same way. I was like, oh, that was a good first half, but let's see what this second half turns into. And it was good. Like, it was fine, And I was just so happy for Benji Marshall and Tigers fans. And, the atmosphere at the stadium looked incredible. It was one of those atmospheres that, we get sometimes in rugby league where it's like the crowd is like, can you believe what we're seeing? You know, and normally you only see that at grand finals. So it was good. And like the way Benji's got them playing, it's like they're tearing in for 80 minutes, which is, I mean, when can you last have said that about the Tigers? Like, that's right. Fuck, look, even when they were good, you know?
Their attack is, it's not pedestrian. It's also not highly technical. They're doing the basics, but you know what? That's all they need to do. Mm-hmm. And the basics is exactly what you need to do because it's made the job easier for Aiden Caesar. And I know you're mocking him at the start of the year, and look, I can't say that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing we could always rely on with him was a kicking game,
which
is what we weren't getting at a consistently high enough standard from Luke Brooks. And he does control the team around the field.
Mm-hmm.
Just basic stuff. That's all he's doing. He's not setting up massive tries or great plays or anything like that. He's just doing the basic stuff you want a halfback to do in a game.
Yeah.
And you're seeing in the attack, it's just the simple things. And they're doing them right. They're not being ill-disciplined with the ball in hand. They're not panicking anywhere near as much. They're not trying to do stupid stuff. They're sticking to their systems.
Mm-hmm.
And they're relying on their defense to cause turnovers, and it's been working the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's basically the game plan. You look at it and you're going, it's so simple, but look how goddamn effective it is.
Yeah. It's crazy how good it's been. And like, there's no reason to think that it won't continue, which is really cool. And look, if they just make it difficult for half the teams in the NRL, they're a real chance of making the finals, which we would never have said 3 weeks ago. But, you know, it's a legitimate win over the Sharks. It's a legitimate win over the Parramatta Eels at Parramatta. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how their season goes from this point, because I was watching them play and I was thinking, like, no one wants to play this team. No one wants to play a team that rips in like they're ripping in. Even the Panthers, like, you don't want a team like that.
No, and that's the thing is, the big problem, and I think Parramatta found this out in the first half, is not just the ripping in and defence, but it's unexpected. You've played the West Tigers for so long going, yeah, this will last for a bit, and then they'll give up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what's always happened. So we'll just bide our time, and then we'll just take the game away from them in the second half, because that's what we always do, and that's what always worked. And then the opportunity never come. They're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
By the time they realize that, too bloody late.
Yeah.
But it has been very impressive. I did do a few stats at the end. I was looking at the Tigers' best starts after their first three games of a season.
Yep.
And 2024 is the first time that they've had 6 points on the ladder after their first three games since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
On both occasions, and they're the only two occasions this has happened, they had 2 wins, 1 loss, and a bye.
Mm-hmm.
2024, though, the points difference is +7. In 2005, it was -9.
Oh, wow.
So this is officially their best start to a season.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Now, it did get me thinking about a different statistic.
Okay.
And that is, how has Parramatta performed at the end of the year in the seasons when they've lost a game to the West Tigers?
Okay.
And let me put it this way. Not great.
Oh, really?
In 2000, Parramatta finished seventh, so they just snuck into the finals. 2002, finished seventh again, lost in the first week of the finals. 2004, finished 12th. 2009, they finished eighth but made the grand final and lost. 2010, 13th, 2011, 14th, 2012, 2013, 16th both years, 2014, 10th, 2015, 12th, 2016, 14th, 2018, 16th, 2022, 4th, and lost the grand final.
Wow. So
it's, to be honest, the Tigers killed Parramatta. Whenever the Tigers beat Parramatta in one game, fucks their entire season.
That's crazy. Looking at Parramatta, they look like a team that is okay, but they miss it. Like, they used to have a bit of an edge to them, and obviously they've got Moses out. Like, that's a big out, right?
Mm.
But even when he was in the side, like, they just look like they're missing an edge. And I honestly, I look at them and think, man, if they had Manu at fullback, they'd be terrifying. But they've got Gutherson, and I don't think Gutherson worries anybody in attack.
I still don't know why they haven't. Like right now, Moses is out. Why not move Gutherson to 5'8"?
I thought okay. They were going to, but they didn't. Hey,
and it's nuts because he does have enough of a passing game and short kicking game to be useful in that area, and you could put a genuine kick returner at fullback and another playmaker there, and it would probably improve their attack. But instead, because I know we've made a lot of jokes about Gutherson in the past, but we'd be serious about the way he plays the game. When he sees that the halves are not performing or the attack is struggling to work, he sees it as right, I need to get involved. And he jumps into the play. Sometimes it works, and sometimes he gets in the way.
Mm.
And this is the problem that Parramatta's having at the moment. What do we do with him? It's like they're trying to placate Gutherson by having him at fullback so they can still have Brown and Moses in the side in the halves. But I think to get the best out of him, he needs to move to 5'8". Problem is, who do you get rid of?
Yeah, and like Dylan Brown's having a good season. You know,
he's a phenomenal 5'8", but when he played at halfback against the Tigers, let's be honest, he was dog shit.
He was dog shit. And but defensively, he is a fucking rock solid. He might be absolutely the best defender as a 5'8".
Absolutely.
So, like, I can't get rid of him, right? Mitch Moses, he's never won anything, right? He's been in some good teams. I don't know about Mitch Moses. But I'm willing to stick with it because there's not too many halfbacks that you can say, I know about him. It's like, it's Cleary, it's Hughes down in Melbourne, it's DCE.
Yeah.
And you know, even Adam Reynolds, we've seen some moments from Adam Reynolds where it hasn't worked for him either. So there's not a huge amount of halfbacks who you can say, I know that guy is going to give me what I need. So I'm okay with having Moses there. But you need more out of dummy half, and Parramatta don't have that at the moment. And I need more out of my fullback, man. And I know that people love Gutherson and stuff, but do you really want to keep that commitment to a fullback who has also won nothing? And you know, I just wouldn't. Like, I think, imagine if Parramatta got rid of Gutherson, brought in Manu, right? And then on the other wing from Sivo, they had Ravalawa. Like, that's a nightmare.
It is.
That's a fucking nightmare. Now, I know that's a lot of salary. There's a lot of play movement there and shit like that. But the difference between like going after it and just sticking with this team, if they stick with this team, they're not winning anything. And that's what it comes down to. And that we talked about this when they re-signed everyone. And we said, do you want to commit to these players that you know didn't win it? And they did. And this is where you end up.
Yeah. And I mean, it leads to the next story because they're apparently the leading club to get the signature of Zach Lomax, who's been told that he's not going to be kept at the Dragons beyond the end of this year.
Yeah, and look, Zach Lomax will fit in really well in the Parramatta team, I think.
Yeah.
He hasn't won anything either.
The Dragons, though, have said they want a like-for-like replacement. So who do they send over? Who does Parramatta send over to the Dragons?
Who would I want? I mean, I tell you what, Sivo and Ravalawa as your wingers. That to me is like they're both built like, and I've said this before, if they're in a Marvel movie, right, and they're wearing a skin tight suit, you'd say that's silly because they look too big. Okay. They're too jacked. they're built like bigger than superheroes. So I would say I want Sivo. And he's not going to be $800,000. They'll get him less than that. But that's who I would want.
If Parramatta smart, they say, we'll send you Morgan Harper.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Harper's, poor Harper. I think Harper's, he's He's one of those guys that is like probably a fringe first grader that's played a lot of first grade, who he didn't let Manly down ever. But he's having a rough start to the year. I feel sad with his form.
There was an absolutely just insane passage there late in the second half between the Tigers and Parramatta, where the Tigers had a scrum 10 minutes from the Eels line, and they kept going right. And every time they went right, they tried to go three passes right. And when they went to throw the third pass, Harper came in to make a tackle. And the three times in a row, the pass hit his hand. And it went forward and reset the scrum. I was like, oh, this is just stupid now. Can we stop this?
There's just sometimes where you see a dude and he's like, it has to go right for him to keep his place. Because there's always some young kid that's tapping on the door, waiting to get in, some ridiculous athlete, some second rower that's got good footwork, you know. And so I like those dudes that get in the first grade and they just hold their place. Manly has a few of them, actually. And Harper was one of those dudes. And, yeah, it's just not working this year. It does. It makes me sad.
I will say this, Kay. There's two players who Parramatta have got that look like they bust their ass every week, whether they have a good game or not. They're ripping it every time. It's Jermaine Hopgood. He's one of those blokes who's just an absolute toiler, like a Tohu Harris type player.
Yeah.
And the other one is Luca Moretti, who's just an absolute bloody barnstorming forward. I want to see those guys playing more football instead of just being on the bench and coming out for short stints. I want to see them play more because they just rip in so much. And I don't see how the people that are in front of them in the starting side are offering anything more than what they do.
No, their starting props have lost a bit of an edge to where they were at their best. And that it's hurting Parramatta because they needed that momentum and being on the front foot. And then it allowed them to have that second phase playoff offloads and they get on the roll and they were hard for anybody to stop.
Yeah.
And it's not working for them at the moment. And yeah, they need a few changes but man, they committed to it. They said, this is our team going forward. And that's the danger when you commit to the team that couldn't win it. You know, it's different if you've won it and you commit to the team and they fall off. You say, well, look, they won it all. What were we supposed to do? when you don't win it and you commit to that team, it's like, man, they need to improve. And the other thing was, it wasn't like it was the Broncos last year where you're like, man, they're so young. This is their first taste of the finals, really, and they only lost to like a seismic event that will be marked in rugby league history for the next century. I'm okay committing to that side. You know, the Parramatta Eels that made the grand final against the Panthers, it was like the zenith of a lot of them guys, their career. They were at the peak of their career. So I don't know. Look, they could turn it around. I don't know. We'll find out. That's why they play the games. That's the best part.
Well, they've got Canberra this week, and their record down there is dire. So, give me another rough one.
When Parramatta play the Canberra Raiders, do we even need a referee for that game? Because, like, both clubs just think they fucking know all the rules and they don't need a referee.
Can we go on to this story?
Yes.
Right. Let's paint the picture properly here for Ricky, because he seems to have lost sight of this fact. Canberra had a lead in that game against Cronulla, did they not?
I believe so. Yes,
it was a sizable lead, was it not?
It was a very good lead to the point where I was like, I think I even tweeted, "Oh, the Raiders are going to flog the Sharks."
Yeah. And then late in the second half, we find that the Raiders have gone from, was it an 18-point lead they had?
I think it was, yeah. Was it 18?
18-0? Yeah. And then we get to late in the second half, and then trailing, was it 30-22?
And by the way, when they scored their next try, the Raiders, the game was over.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was done.
So Cronulla scored 30 points to 4 in a rather short period of time, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And Canberra scored, I think it was Schiller scored in the corner. The This is fucking stupid. Jamal Fogarty's having a shot of the conversion. He's about to start moving in to take the kick. The Sharks trainer runs past him. It's worth noting that Fogarty doesn't even look at him.
Mm.
And if it was a distraction, Fogarty, I'd imagine, would have stopped and gone back and had another go because the clock's off. You're not wasting any time at this stage.
Yeah. So, the referee would have had no problems with that. We've seen it happen before.
Yeah. But he didn't even look at the trainer.
Mm.
And Fox Sports have got a still up. And they're talking about, you know, was this a bizarre move by the Sharks? And the still has the Sharks trying to jog and pass and Fogarty staring solely at the ball as he's about to come in and kick it. So he doesn't even see the trainer running past. And yet Ricky Stewart was complaining about how that was a deliberate act, possibly, done to distract him. And my first thought was that goal worth 10 points?
It's the most Ricky Stewart thing in the world that your team gives up 34 points and you're like, the fucking trainer ran past.
That's
the reason we lost.
That's what cost us.
Yeah, it's like, nah, how about you don't give up 34 points? Like, how many teams have given up 34 points in the NRL's entire history? If only we had a statistician for this, right? In the entire history of the game, how many teams have allowed 34 points and won?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ricky Stewart's got a problem because, what you know what we should do? And if we had a rugby league historian here, right, we could get them to look up every fucking excuse Ricky Stewart has ever given.
God damn it. My database can only hold so much.
I know. But, like, you think of all of the excuses and whinges that guy has had for the reasons why they haven't won football games. It is ridiculous. Like, it's a personality disorder at some point. At some point, you got a personality disorder. Like, they gave up 34 points. At that point, you shut the fuck up.
Yeah. But no, that's the – you don't look at that fact. And sure enough, as soon as he complained about it, Fox Sports and the Daily Telegraph all come into his defense and they're going, oh, is this a deliberate act? And you're going, can we please just go a week without them putting Ricky's dick in their mouth? Can we please?
Exactly.
I'm sick of it. Speaking of dumb things that were said, and I'm going to have to go back to the Tigers game here.
Okay, yeah.
Paul Kent. You remember him?
I do remember Paul Kent, the defendant.
Just don't forget your phone. He's made a comment about the Tigers signing of Jerome Luai.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's a reasoned comment. What did he say?
Well, this is in regard to young Galvin, who's playing pretty bloody well at the Tigers at the moment.
Yeah, really, really well.
And he speaks of Luai and he says, I don't think they need him with the way this kid is going. Thoughts?
I would agree. I mean, what's Luai done? What's Luai really achieved in his career, really? Like, you know, let's look past the three straight premierships.
Well, can we say he hasn't won any premierships in the last 3 weeks?
True. True.
So in the last 3 weeks, he's won as many titles as Galvin has.
I know we consider him to be one of the key parts of the greatest team in the modern era of the sport. And he took Samoa basically single-handedly to a World Cup final. But if you take away all of his achievements, what has he achieved really? Like, if you take his resume and delete it, he hasn't done anything in the game.
Not a thing.
Yeah. So.
Well, he wore sunglasses occasionally inside. I mean, that's deplorable.
He listens to music. Hey, listening to music is a real red flag for me.
I mean, if nothing says that you're a cunt more than the fact that you listen to music and you wear sunglasses inside.
100%. 100%.
So, you know, should Luai be charged by the police?
Yeah.
Charging with, I don't know, a fray?
Definitely. That covers a lot of things, a fray.
Yeah. How long should he get in jail?
1,000 years.
Okay, that seems fair. Done. Years.
Just until the West Tigers make the finals.
Jeez, you're more optimistic about them than I am. 1,000 years.
See, like, it's man, these fucking people that write, we need Owen just to write all of the rugby league articles from now on, because his fucking article was amazing. And then we get someone like a Paul Kent that's like, do they really need one of the best halves in the fucking modern game? It's so dumb. Like, Alvin is going to get so much playing outside of Luai, who I believe will be playing halfback, you know, and he's shown that ability. You saw him last week for the Panthers. Like, it was funny to see him playing for the Panthers against the Roosters, and people are like, wow, this Luai guy's actually really good, hey? It's like, what the fuck have you people been watching for the last few years? Of course he's good. He's amazing. That's why Penrith is so good. So, yeah, just... man, we really deserve a better fucking level of journalism in rugby league, and we're not getting it at the moment.
That's it's all on you, Owen.
You got a lot of work to do for us, Owen.
Look, seriously, if you just do one a day, that's enough. We don't need to read that much about it. It's all the same garbage anyway. You just mix them up, and every now and then you just move the paragraphs around from all the other ones. Just mix and match them a little bit until we get... Till people start clicking on, you go, oh, we better do another one.
I wonder, like, I've never messed with ChatGPT at all, right? But I wonder if you could put into it, like, give me an article as to why Jerome Luai is not the right signing for the West Tigers, and only mention, like, it being about the types of shoes he wears. See what it comes up with.
Actually, and how his shoes are a hate crime.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, that would make as much sense as some of the shit that these idiots that write for the Telegraph and the Sydney Morning Herald come up with. It's so silly. Like, when you've got to say, when you get a podcast like ours and you're like, well, here's why we disagree about their opinion of this 3-time champion player. Like, why do you have to even do that? They're so dumb.
They are. What other games do we have? I didn't get to see as many games this week, but Penrith beat the Roosters 22-16.
Yeah, the game flattered the Roosters. It was just another one of those games where you kind of watch the Panthers and you're like, this is frigging crazy. They walked through the Roosters pack who everyone was – not everyone. The same idiots we were just talking about were saying – like I saw one of them on Fox Sports saying that this Roosters team has been one of the great sides over the last 5 years. And I'm thinking, when? Like, what was the last relevant game the Roosters played in?
2019?
So 2019? Pre-fucking COVID?
Yeah, maybe they meant 2019.
They can get fucked.
they are a little bit behind.
By the way, Jared Warrior Hargraves disappeared.
Disappeared?
Yeah, come up against a good pack, disappeared. Like all of these so-called Roosters tough men. The Rabbitohs win over the Bulldogs was it was messy. It was a slog. The Rabbitohs dragged themselves kicking and screaming over the line. You felt more optimistic after the game about the Bulldogs than you did the Rabbitohs. It was one of those matches.
I was going to say, from what I heard, that game was an absolute dog.
It was a dog, but it was a dog in a way of like, you had a team that has forgotten how to win in the Bulldogs versus a team that is just really struggling in the Rabbitohs. And so it was epic in the fact that it was like, had the Bulldogs won, you knew that something big was going to happen at the Rabbitohs. And if the Bulldogs had been, because we've seen the Bulldogs flogged again and again, if the Bulldogs had been flogged, you could have seen something happen at the Bulldogs, but it wasn't like that. And you did. You come away from this thinking, yeah, the Bulldogs are getting somewhere and the Rabbitohs didn't look good winning.
So essentially the result here protected both clubs from having some sort of bad dire thing happen to either.
A little bit, yeah.
That's just disappointing. Kind of, yeah. I did see the next one, Brisbane versus the Cowboys, and the Broncos won 38-12, and Adam Reynolds put on an absolute kicking masterclass.
Mm-hmm.
He kicked the Cowboys to death, let's be honest.
He really did. Matt Daylight at fullback for the Cowboys was Matt Daylight, classic Matt Daylight. That's why I don't rate him.
He was peppered, man. He'd do one good thing, and then Reynolds would just pepper him with the next three kicks, and he'd botch all of them. He'd drop one, he'd let one bounce, he'd take one cleanly, but then lose it as he took a hit up or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then he'd do another good thing, and then another two or three things would go bad. You're just like, oh, man. It was weird. Like you're taking one step forward and three steps backwards.
It was weird. Commentators kept on calling him Scott Drinkwater too. It's like, it's fucking Matt Daylight. What are you talking about?
They'll never catch on. They'll never
so silly. On. Like, be professionally fucking idiots.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
Cowboys, I think we said it in the last podcast, Cowboys are soft. And this game was one of those games where the Broncos just walked through them. Cowboys are soft. I've written them off.
I'm going to ask you a question here.
Yep, go for it.
Should the Cowboys get rid of Tuamalolo?
If I was managing the team, everyone knows my love for Jason Tuamalolo. Everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
If I was managing.
You named your phone after him.
Jason Tuamalolo.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Red phone. I got the red phone because it was like, it reminded me of him in his
Tonga jumper.
Tonga jersey. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. I would be looking to get out from under that contract. I think that it doesn't have much longer to run on it. The thing I would do if I was the Cowboys, actually, they might have done this already. I would be willing to lose Jason Tuamalolo for the rest of this year from today if it meant sending him overseas to get something done to his knee, which helped rehabilitate it, because he's dragging that fucking leg around.
Yeah, and while he's doing that, he's got absolutely no drive through it, and he's now providing very little of what he used to be able to do. You're not getting $1 million out of him per year at the moment.
No, and the forwards around him, there's some big name forwards around him. They're doing nothing to help him. It's not like he's running off of the back of, good, quick, winning play the balls. Like, he's having to do grunt work. So I think there's only 1 or 2 years left on the rest of his 10-year deal. I can't remember exactly what year it was he signed it, but we're pretty close to the end of it. And I would still sign that contract even if you said to me, I get him at this point, in the end of the deal. Because what he's done previously is, it's been historic. But, yeah, I would look to either, if I couldn't get a chance to rehabilitate him, I would look to move him if I could. I don't know who would pick him up.
A club that wants a like-for-like transfer at the moment.
They would take him. But I honestly believe that he is super, super happy in North Queensland and is weirdly one of the game's superstars that, like, if you went to him and said, are you sure you don't want to go? And he'd be like, no, man, I'm happy. And they're like, no, but really? And he'd be like, no, really, I'm happy here. I'm good. Like, I think he's been an anomaly like that amongst our game superstars in that he genuinely is happy being a Cowboy and he genuinely doesn't want to leave. And that's cool.
I agree. I also think that the only way they can make him work right now is he has to be on the bench and you bring him on 15, 20 minutes before halftime and you take him off 15, 20 minutes after. So he just does two 20-minute stints. You get full 40 minutes out of him, but he gets a 20-minute break in the middle. So he's reasonably strong both sides of that break.
Yeah.
If you want to look after him and try and help him get through the knee injury stuff, and yeah, as you said, try and find a way to get his knee better for the club and for him long term as well. Because I just worry that if they don't fix it and they just leave it like this, he's going to be hobbling around for the rest of his life once he finishes playing footy. This is like, what, 15th, 16th year of footy?
Yeah, and he's like we've talked about this. He started very young. He's probably the last of the really young players to play first grade, and it's crazy he did it as a forward too, which is insane. So he's got a lot of miles on him, and we know. I mean, how many years did we see him carrying the Cowboys as a one man show?
Oh yeah.
So it might be his last contract that he's on right now, which is weird to think about because he's 31, going on 32 maybe.
He'll turn 31 at the end of May.
There you go. A couple of years ago, we both talked about there's no reason to think he wouldn't go on, but he's had this degenerative problem in his knee that's just going to be a problem for the rest of his career. It sucks because I would love to see him play for another like 5 years or so, but it looks like that's not going to be the case. But I was thinking about him while I was watching him in this game, and I don't know if it's possible for him to drop weight, because I think that unlike a lot of players, like he's literally – like I think if Jason Taumalolo wasn't a footy player, he'd probably look like he does now anyway. Like he's just a gigantic human being. And if you've seen him in real life, like I've never seen a player that's wider across his back than Jason Taumalolo. Like he is just an outlier athlete. Yeah. So I don't know that he's going to be able to drop weight, because I just think that this is the – human that he's built to be, you know. But if he could drop weight, I think that might help his knee a little bit and help his mobility a little bit. But as I said, I don't think he could. I think that this is kind of the human that he is. So it's sad to see, because I absolutely loved every second of watching him play the game. And like, I don't know if you and me ever watched a Cowboys game while we're on Skype, but the joy of like seeing this 100 and like nearly 30 kilogram giant human stepping through the line like he was Brad Fittler, and the footwork of somebody that big and moving like that and breaking records through the middle of an opposition team when he was the only attacking option and everyone knew he was coming. And they still couldn't stop him. I don't think we'll ever see somebody like that as a forward ever again. Like,
oh, no.
Just incredible. Incredible.
He was something else. So, yeah, it would be good to see him at least be... I reckon as a explosive sort of bench player, I think that's one way to extend his career somewhat.
The perfect role for him would be in it's obvious, like the Storm would get the best out of him in that role. The Panthers would get the best out of him in that role. Maybe the Broncos, but it's not his role anymore to carry a team and a carry forward pack.
That's right. There's some real chat there about Taumalolo.
Yeah.
That one cuts us deep.
I know. It really does. They all retire, man. It's horrible.
It is.
They all
retire. Speaking of horrible, Dragons beat Manly 20-12.
Yeah, this was the sort of game you watched because you hated yourself. The Seagulls were putrid and the Dragons were slightly less putrid. Although I love watching the Dragons because I love watching Ravalawa play. He's one of my favorite players.
I started watching the second half of this when I was on the train home.
Yeah.
And I decided to just save my data.
You did the right thing.
It was hurting me. I probably watched about 10, 15 minutes of it. I was like, this is filthy. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
It reminded me of all the games of the Tigers that I watched for the 3 years prior. So I'm getting frustrated watching this, and it's not even my team's playing in this.
Yeah.
Then we move on to the Dolphins beat the Titans 30-14.
I had this game on in the background. And it was just typical. It's just the Titans are not a real footy club. People were saying, like, why are there not that many people at the Titans game? Because they've seen the Titans play. They know what to expect out of the Titans. That's why.
They can get more people on a hill in Lilyfield than they can to a Titans game on the Gold Coast.
Don't start me about the fucking hill in Lilyfield, all right? I said about that Parramatta versus West Tigers game, I was like, you know what everyone in this stadium is not thinking? I wish my ass was on a grass hill. And I still had people saying, are you sure about that? Did you ask everyone? I'm sure that the Tigers fans wish they were on a hill. It's like, oh, shut up. Fucking Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a bit of fun on there the last few days.
Yeah, you managed to piss off everyone. It was weird seeing it from the other side, Andrew. It's a real palate cleanser for me.
You ruined it, going, what's this like going to go before? Hang on, I didn't type that.
I was like, I'm going to jump in on this. Shit.
That was funny. We'll move on from that one because I didn't see much of that one either, and I don't want to talk about it because it hurt my eyes.
I watched enough of it that I was like, oh yeah, the Dolphins look all right. They're going to flog them, and they did.
They did pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Warriors beat Newcastle 20-12 over in Auckland. There. It was an interesting game because. I don't know. I still don't know how to judge the Knights. I know this much, okay. I know that they're not one of the dog shit teams in the competition. But yeah, I also know they're not putrid. Yeah, but I also know they're not one of the top sides.
Yeah.
And so you're just sort of stuck in this area going, are they just like Canberra? Are they Canberra, Parramatta? Is that what they are? Something like that.
I think that they're Canberra. And I think, like, the Warriors didn't play their best, but they have got this fight in them, and it that was what got them over the line. You know, that's what won them this game. And I think that the scoreline flattered the Knights a little bit. And I do. I think that they're, like, the Knights are comfortably, like, I don't know, 14th. They're not bottoming out, and you can watch them and enjoy a game they're involved in, but they're not a good team.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're four. I reckon they're probably a little bit higher, not much, but they don't feel like they're a top eight side, but they also don't feel like that they'd be out of the hunt, and they also don't look like a team that would be finishing in the bottom three or four. You just go, such a small area they're in, you're like, I can't put a marker on. Like, if I had to pick which games they're probably going to win for the rest of the year, I look at it and go, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like they're going to get wins where a team just is, they'll beat the Titans. But the teams that are just have a real bad week, you know, or they've lost like three players, or they run into a team that's been smashed by Origin selections, that sort of thing. And I think that it's honestly, I think it's par for the course for them because they had that great run towards the end of last year. And you talked about how that wasn't against too many great sides. I think this is just what the Knights are.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing they should be able to do is be consistent with their defense. So they should be going out there knowing that they're going to be in every game and they're not going to get flogged anywhere near as often as they had done in the past. And they'll be a little bit more of a consistent performer. They do just need a few extra players to take them across that line and make them a regular top eight side. I don't think they're far off, but I'm not sure if they're there yet.
Well, the problem is they need halves.
Yeah.
Their hooker that is a fantastic player has had so many career-threatening injuries every single year he's played for them, so that's a big problem. Ponga looks pretty good this year, but he can't do it all himself. And when he's the only point of attack, he's pretty easy to shut down. They committed a lot of money to Bradman Best, and I think that that's a real... It would be the sort of luxury that you would expect at tops. Like if it was, say, the Broncos re-signed Tony Staggs on that deal, I'm like, yeah, you don't lose your strike centre in a great side like that. When it's the Knights and you've got so many holes you could fill and you sign a giant contract for your centre, who's really, I mean, how many great games has Bradman Best played in his entire career? Like, it's a handful. Well, but
are you asking me or are you asking Matthew Johns?
Well, Matthew Johns, I mean, this is basically the test team to him.
Well, I also wonder if Matthew Johns works or is good friends with Bradman Best's agent. He's done pretty good at getting a good deal out of all of this.
Yeah. I mean, how many... Okay.
Got him into the Origin side. That helped.
Yeah. And I just think that you don't commit that much money to an outside... And the Roosters have the same problem, man. Why do the Roosters keep spending big money on outside backs when their forward pack is fucking this... Like, should be in a fucking mattress commercial for being so soft.
Oh, that's fair. We discussed the Sharks game. They beat Canberra 36-22. Canberra choked hard.
Yeah, it was a real Canberra game, this one. The Sharks will be happy that they put up points like that on a... They needed that win. They really needed that win. And they needed it against somebody.
Yeah.
And I think that the Raiders are at the lowest end of somebody. But if they'd have done that against the Titans, it wouldn't have done anything for them. But to be able to do it against the Raiders, at least it would have been like, whew, you know, it's 2 points. We needed that after last week. So, yeah.
Can I put a poser to you that might put you in a bit of a difficult position?
You can.
Okay. Where would you rather watch a game of footy at? PointsBet Stadium or the Hill at Lilyfield?
Oh, man.
It's worth noting that the Hill at Lilyfield can fit more people.
It can. There's no toilets there.
That is a downside.
I wouldn't trust the food at Lilyfield.
Yeah, and look, the food at PointsBet is usually pretty good.
Okay. I'm probably
you can walk to a train station within less than 20 minutes.
I don't walk. That's too far. The parking. What's the parking like at Shark Park?
The same as the Hill at Lilyfield.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I'm not parking anywhere.
But you take the train to the Woolloware?
Andrew, do I look like a polvo to you? Fucking trains? Why do you keep bringing up trains for? Man?
Well, it's just, you know... Every time I've seen pictures of you, mate, you're just hanging around Penrith train station. I just figured that's what you do.
I can't tell you why Andrew's a cunt, people, but Andrew's a fucking cunt.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, shit. That's a really good question. I think I'd choose Leichhardt Oval, and I'll tell you why. The thought of sitting amongst Sharks fans is just the fucking worst thing in the world. Are you serious? Sit me with 11,000 of those cunts. Fuck that shit. At least Tigers fans are like, oh my God, we got 4 points this year. Like, that's my budget for the year already done. Sharks fans were still pissing and moaning because they got caught fucking breaking the salary cap and doing all the drugs in the world and, yeah, fucking... Asterix, fucking bullshit. Should have given that trophy back. Fucking cheats. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. It's kind of what I thought you were going to do, which is good. You know, we got what we wanted out of you. The round ended on Monday with the Tigers beating Parramatta 17-16. Parramatta won the penalty count 10-3.
Oh, wow.
They won most of the stats areas as well, so well done, Parramatta, on that one. Tigers, 6 on the ladder.
That's pretty cool, hey?
Actually, I should rephrase that. Equal first on the ladder.
Equal first.
They've conceded as many points this year, exactly, as Penrith have. Sure, they've played one game less, Don't worry about the facts.
It's still, yeah, it's still, that is what it is, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where we're going there. That's pretty good.
I've been there where I've been like, you know what? We're equal first on the ladder with six other teams. I've been there. It's legit.
Well, I mean, you've been there for the last 4 years.
No. I mean in the past when where you're like, oh, we're like in equal fourth. I know we're in 10th, but we're in equal fourth place. And you take it. It's true. You fucking are. You're equal first.
Now, we'll get away from the current game. Because I did a little bit of stats just before the episode started.
Yes.
And I wanted to look at how does the current Panther side stack up against the biggest measuring stick, and that is the Dragons of the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I wanted to look at was starting from the year before they went on their premiership run.
Yep.
And having, so it was 109 games, because that's how many games Penrith have played from the start of 2020 through till the end of last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'd do the same for the Dragons. Start the year before they started their run, so 1955, and then do 109 games from that point forward. And the result was pretty startling.
Mm-hmm.
109 games, the Dragons, 90 wins, 2 draws, 17 losses.
Mm-hmm.
That's 182 points. Penrith, 91 wins, 1 draw, 17 losses, 183 points, just 1 point more. That draw was the difference.
That's crazy.
Now, that enough was mad.
Yeah.
The one thing that I 100% knew was going to happen was Penrith was going to score more points because we've got 4 point tries. Possession is more of a 50-50 thing now than what it was when the Dragons played. Mm-hmm. So points were going to happen more frequently. And 10-meter rule.
Yeah, and the limited tackles at this point, I'm guessing. Because the unlimited tackles, because the limited tackles come in at the end of their run. St. George.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Penrith scored 2,870 points so far, and that's 789 points more than what the Dragons scored.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a fair whack.
It's a lot, yeah.
The one that impresses me, though, out of all of this, is points conceded.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Dragons conceded 13.25 points,
mm-hmm.
which is 71 points less than the Panthers.
That's pretty crazy, because if you think if the Panthers had unlimited tackles, what they would do to teams in terms of just getting the lead, their defense keeps them low, and then just holding on to the ball. And we're in a much higher scoring era of rugby league than they had back then. Like, that's crazy.
And, yeah, they're conceding 4 points every time with a try, not three.
Yeah, so yeah.
How they've been able to do that that's the astonishing part. This is the bit that people, and I had to make it clear when I put this out, because I did send it out on Twitter, was, people don't need to look at this and see me saying, oh, Penrith is as good as St. George. Mm. That's not the point of this. The point of this is how insanely good the Panthers' defense is.
Yeah, this is, I mean, the Dragons are a team where their records are so far out there in front of everything that you can compare to anything in rugby league, that when you get a team that you can say is even close to that, it's like, whoa, what are we watching here?
Exactly.
And that's what we're seeing with the Panthers, is that, like, we're seeing a team that the fact you can even line them up anywhere close to what that Dragons team did is absolutely insane, because we're watching them right now.
Yeah. And, well, we know I'm not a Panthers fan, but what I am is a football fan. And I want people to realize that instead of just shitting on the Panthers because they're successful, Don't for a moment miss the opportunity to recognize that what you're seeing is something that we haven't seen for 70 years.
Mm.
That's what we're witnessing at the moment. And don't get me wrong, it's on an immensely smaller scale, because St. George, from 1946 to 1973, they missed the finals once.
Yeah.
And on that one occasion, they finished fifth when there was a 14 finals place and they were 1 point behind fourth place on the ladder.
And that's one of the things I think about when we start talking about, like, when we talk about, because obviously the Panthers win a three straight, they go into a different category of teams that you're lining them up against. And it's like, if the Panthers had won three straight premierships, but for the previous 12 years had made every single final series, then you'd be like, wow, this is something different. Well, that's what the Dragons kind of had done. And at their point where they had won three straight premierships, and then they won, and they won so many more after that. Like, yeah. You can't just take their 11 premierships in a row and say that's it, because it wasn't. It was that entire run, which is like a couple of decades worth of they were one of the teams to beat.
Yeah, it's 30 years
of
constantly being in the finals, being a constant contender for the title and winning nearly half of them.
Yeah.
That's just madness.
It's you can't even... That's why when people say, like, guys, this Penrith team's the best team of all time, it's like, listen, this Penrith team is great. Definitely the best team of the modern era. The stats and everything back them up. Probably the best team since that Dragons team.
Look, they're trending that way at the moment. If they get to another grand final this year, let alone win the thing, they're in that conversation then.
Yeah.
Five straight grand finals. Hasn't been done since that Dragons side.
They're in a conversation where we're like, once you've won at three straight, there's only a few teams that you're talking about at that stage. And a lot of them are very, very old teams, which doesn't make their titles any less legitimate, by the way. I value those titles from 1908 is the same premiership as we won last year. But they're in those sort of big conversations, and they keep growing and growing and growing. And I think that's why I want to watch them this year. And you think, like, they've been in four straight grand finals, won three of them, and they are still this good. Like, there's still improvement in them. Like, yeah. Tungle's going to get better. May's going to get better. Like, Taruva's going to get better. Edwards is getting better. Cleary is getting better. Like, Liam Henry has come into the side this year as a prop forward, young prop forward, in his first few games. This guy's walked straight into first grade, and he just looks like he's going to have the goods. And that, to me, is the mind-blowing thing, that it must have been what you would watch when you were watching those Dragons teams, in that you would be like, wow, they've won the three straight. Who's this new guy that's come in? He's unbelievable. It must have been like that. And so to be a footy junkie like you are, like, we know we're watching history, but we are also lining that up with the history that we've read about and talked about, and we're like, wow, this must be what that was like at that point.
Yeah. That's it. You got to start looking at things like that, because you're running out of teams to compare them with at a certain point.
Yeah. You can't really line them up against anyone in the 10-metre era anymore, can you? Like,
no.
Because I was thinking about – I wrote a couple of articles last night about Brett Mullins in 94 and how if you witnessed that, it was like all of a sudden the rugby league world was just lit on fire by Brett Mullins in round 14.
Yeah.
Onwards, right? And then the Canberra Raiders in 94, they won the premiership, and I wrote about that premiership win. And the previous premiers were like the two-time premiers, the Broncos. And, like, they were such a great team, and they were so cool, and they seemed so unbeatable. But in 94, they weren't really one of the gun sides. They were very good, but it was really the Raiders, and it always felt like it was going to end up being the Raiders and Bulldogs that year, and that's what it ended up being. Penrith are better than that Broncos team in all of their achievements, and, like, the Broncos didn't win in 95. They didn't win in 96. Like, Penrith have won three straight, and they're still probably the best team in the comp. Like, when's it going to end? How is it going to end? Like, it's so crazy to be watching it.
Oh, it's insane. There's no other way of putting it. It's, and yeah, obviously I can't tell people what to do and how to feel, but that's right. But you do need to recognize that, you know, holy shit, we are seeing something insanely historic here.
Yeah.
And I'd hate for people to lose sight of that just because it's not their team. You know, we're kind of going through that a fair bit with the Broncos in the 90s and stuff. People got sick of seeing them being successful all the time, and they went on that insanely long finals run there. But they weren't winning titles the way the Dragons were.
No.
And it just seems to be this thing that goes on all the time now. In the 50s and 60s, when the Dragons were winning all those titles, sure, there was a small section of the public that were like, this is getting boring watching them always being the winning team all the time. The media wasn't, though.
Mm.
Everyone was just in awe of how great this side is to watch and how it's a privilege to watch this team being this good. But somewhere from that moment onwards, that sense of watching something phenomenal got lost, and people just started having this like tall poppy syndrome.
I think last year in the grand final, when Penrith did what they did with that comeback, there was a moment where there was a universal feeling of like, oh my God, this is a team that is like unbelievable. Yeah. Like,
how do you beat them?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like I didn't even see that many Broncos fans blowing up. It was kind of like, man, what can you do? You know, they're that good. And I think that the Broncos played their asses off in that game. Like, they were really good in that game. That was the other thing. It wasn't like we saw the Broncos get blown off the park or something. Like, if the Panthers had done what they did the previous year to Parramatta, it might have been different. But I think that the fact that we saw Penrith, like, done, they were done, down and out. The Broncos were rampaging. And then we saw this, like, incredible sporting moment. And we all watched it happening, and the wind's blowing across the stadium, and it's like, what are we watching? And they actually did it. And I think there was this universal moment of like, man, this team is something else. It's something like we haven't seen in a long time. But then it does dissipate. Then you get to round like two of the season, and it's like, oh, the fucking, they're only good because the referees helped them and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the bit I think is just a bit silly. Like, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the week of football. Do we want to look at the upcoming games? And
yeah, let's do our tips for the upcoming games.
So I don't think we did our tips last week.
No, I think we forgot. I've been putting my tips on my website. Yeah, I should get your tips and put them on there too, eh?
I haven't done any tipping at all this year.
Yeah, I'm not in a tipping competition this year. We didn't really run one this year. But we'll do our tips now, huh?
We'll do that. All right. So Storm versus Broncos. I just got some stats here.
Mm-hmm.
Since the 2004 final series, Melbourne has won 36 of their 43 games against the Broncos.
Wow.
And Brisbane have won just 6 of their 27 games played in Victoria. This year will be their 30-year anniversary of the first game they played down here. In 1994, the Broncos beat Balmain 36-14 at Princes Park.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So that's it there. The Storm also have Munster and Hughes back this week, so I'm picking them to win this one.
The Storm are favourites in this one.
It's going to be a great game. It's not going to be a blowout anyway. But I think it's one of those games where the Broncos need a bit full strength and they're not quite. So I'm leaning towards the Storm to get the job done here.
I've got super amounts of everyone knows what I think of the Storm.
Well, you've written them off. We know that. this is your year.
Storm, yeah. I'm tipping the Broncos.
That's fine. I don't blame you.
I've got
it's going to be crazy close, this one.
Yeah, I've got an immense amount of faith in this Broncos team. In a similar way I did with the Panthers at a point where you were like, every loss that they have is a lesson. Every win they have is a lesson. And I just think that they're working towards something. And I think that this is a game that might show us that the Broncos are maybe a little bit ahead of the Storm. But we'll see. I can't wait. This is such a good game.
Oh, yeah. Next game, Bulldogs versus the Roosters. Roosters have won 15 of their last 19 games against the Dogs. That's 2013 to 2023. Since round one 2020, the Bulldogs have won 22 of 96 games. And I'm a little undecided.
Yeah. Part of me... Who are the Roosters missing? Have the Roosters got Kiri in the side?
Let me check. I'll tell you what, though. Regardless, I have decided that I am going to lean towards the Roosters in this one. And it's only because I can't trust the Bulldogs.
Let's see
at all. Yeah. And so it's more of a... It's more of a commentary, I guess, on the Bulldogs' inconsistency than it is on the Roosters' ability to win games. Let's have a look. Okay, so for the Bulldogs, Addo Carr is out. Jacob Preston is out. Curtis Morin is on the bench. Blake Wilson, Harrison Edwards, Cortoga, Bronson Cherry is on the extended bench. Toby Sexton is on the extended bench. They've made a few changes, the Bulldogs, to their bench, basically. Mm. For the Roosters, Lindsay Collins is into the front row, and the rest are on their extended bench. Terrell Mays moved to the bench. Tupanua's to the bench. Angus Crichton is in the starting lineup from the bench to second row.
Yeah, he was actually good last week for the Roosters.
And so to answer your question, yeah, Kiri is playing. He'll be at six.
Is Walker in the side?
Yes, he's at seven.
I tell you what, if they had have named Toby Sexton as their halfback, because they're basically getting around without a halfback this year, the Bulldogs. If they named him as halfback, I would be going Bulldogs. But because I'm still worried about them not having a halfback and I don't know that he will get into the team, I'm like just slightly going Roosters. With no confidence, because I think the Bulldogs pack can match the Roosters pack and punch holes in them, actually kick out punch holes in them. They're going to have the best half on the field in Burton. Their backs are actually playing pretty good. They're like their outside backs.
Yeah.
I'm going to just lean Roosters. Just, I tell you what, if the Bulldogs win this game, their fans are going to go fucking crazy. It's going to be so good.
You're like 2004 all over again.
Except they'll be compliant.
Next is Knights versus Dragons.
Ugh.
The Knights have only won back-to-back games against the Dragons twice, 2003 and 2019-20. And the Dragons have won 14 of their last 17 games at McDonald Jones Stadium since 2004.
I'm going Knights and they might flog them.
I'm going Knights, and I'm going for them to put 50 on.
Yeah. I think this Lomax stuff that's been happening this week, which, by the way, they got out from under their last couple of years of his contract, which is just a fucking masterstroke by the Dragons. So Lomax will be playing somewhere else at the end of the year, and they don't have to pay the rest of his salary out as a condition of giving him a release at the end of the year. Is brilliant because he's overrated, he's overpaid, he's not that good. I think that the Knights will flog them. Yep. It's at home, it's up in Newcastle too.
Yeah, they're due.
Yeah,
they're
due. Yeah.
Next is Rabbitohs versus Warriors. Souths have won 14 of the last 15 games against the Warriors, while the Warriors have won just 15 of their last 56 games in Sydney. And that's back to round 15, 2012.
That's rough.
I am going to go with Souths on this one.
Really?
Yeah. Why? I think that win last week, as sloppy as it was,
yeah,
is just a little bit of confidence that they need to build upon. And I think that they might be able to get across the line.
Okay, I'm going Warriors because I like the fight they've shown this year. I like that they haven't rolled over and died yet, which is, it sounds silly, but I think that that was the next hurdle I had to get through, and they've got through that. And I think RTS at fullback, he looked really good, and I think he might put on a performance here. He played really well last week, and I just think having that under his belt coming up against Latrell Mitchell, both of them former Roosters, both of them should have maybe been the fullback for the Roosters. And I think RTS is just, I think he's going to have a game in this one. And I just like the Warriors overall compared to how the Rabbitohs are playing. So I'm going Warriors.
All right, next one. Penrith versus Manly. This is at Brookvale. Are you aware as to how dominant Penrith's record is against Manly in the recent years? Recent years, I'm going to say since 2012.
Yeah, we've had some. Even when we weren't good, we would do some things to Manly that was pretty rude.
Since 2012, there's been 19 games between Penrith and Manly, and Penrith has won 16 of them.
Phew, jeez, I didn't realise it was that dominant.
Wow. The other one is from 1967 till 2012. Penrith had won 10 of 40 games played at Brookvale. From 2013 till now, they've won 7 of their last 9 there.
That's crazy. I actually went to, the only time I've been to Brookvale Oval was a Panthers game, and we won that one as well. And it was beautiful. It was so sweet being at that game. How do you think this one's going to go?
Penrith, and I wouldn't be surprised if Penrith win by double figures. I'm not going to say they're not going to flog them, but it might be like 12 or 14 points or something like that. Penrith have a habit of putting, of the few teams that they put a score on most seasons, because they don't do it often, but one of the teams they do it on a semi-regular basis is Manly. But I don't think they're going to put a massive score on them. I think they might win like 26 to 12 or something like that. It'll be a comfortable enough win, though. It won't be a tight game.
Yeah, well, look, that's the weird thing about this Panthers team is that they get that big lead and then they just sort of switch it off and just hold it. I tell you what, if this Eagles played like they did last week, they'll get flogged. I know you and me have both been waiting for that game where Penrith just put the pedal down for 80 minutes against somebody and do put up a giant score, like we see the Storm do quite often.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's, I could see Penrith scoring 40 in this one. I think that this is going to be a super, super comfortable game for them. I just think that it'll be easy for them. So yeah.
All right, next one is Dolphins v. the Tigers. Now, the West Tigers haven't won 3 straight games since rounds 4, 5, and 6 in 2018.
Wow.
At the moment, the Dolphins have conceded an average of 25 points per game at Suncorp, while the Tigers have conceded 24.2 at the same venue in their respective histories. Not a happy hunting ground for either of them.
No. Man, this is difficult, this one.
Tigers will be without Galvin.
Oh.
He's taken the guilty plea. He's going to miss 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So Jaden Sullivan's coming in at 5'8".
I got to go the Dolphins because of that. Hey,
that's the thing. I'm inclined to go with Dolphins because Galvin's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing the Dolphins do struggle with is a decent defense. And if the Tigers' defense turns up again, they might be able to. Like, the Dolphins are one of those teams that if they're forced to panic, they do turn the ball over comfortably and frequently.
Yeah.
And that might be enough for the Tigers to get another win. Another close win probably. But I will lean the Tigers way, but I'm not confident either way on this one.
I will say this. The Dolphins will not be looking forward to playing this game. Because Galvin, like, he's only played three games, but he has been a massive part of their success. Massive, massive part of it.
He really has.
I was actually thinking, like, if he had 60 first grade games under his belt and had, like, a couple of seasons, be perfect in New South Wales alongside Cleary. But he's played three games. Like, it's crazy. He's so good. But, yeah, I probably lean towards the Dolphins because of that, which says something that three games and I'm leaning that way because he's not there. That's exciting.
It is. I would like to see Sam Fainu replace Bateman in the front, in the second row.
Yes.
And Bateman to probably switch places with I don't care who on the extended bench.
Yes. Yeah, Bateman's a liability.
At the moment, I think I'd probably take Adam Dewey in his current state at second row over John Bateman.
Yeah, 100%.
Next one, Cowboys versus Titans.
The Titans aren't a real football club, so Cowboys.
Well, this one, I've got some good stats here.
Okay, hit me with them.
The last time the Titans started a game at the bottom of the ladder was round 22, 2022, and they beat Manly 44-24.
Oh, wow.
The Cowboys have won four of the last NRL The Cowboys have won four of their last eight NRL games, but have conceded an average of 27 points in that period.
Yeah, they're soft.
Their defense is woeful, but the Titans, everything is poo.
Yeah, yeah. The betting odds for this one.
Yeah.
I won't say who by because we're not sponsored by anyone. No. The Titans are at $6.05 in the head to head. The Cowboys are at $1.13.
Jesus.
The Titans, no. Fuck them.
If the Cowboys can get the first try within the first 6-7 minutes of the game,
mm-hmm.
I'll put 50 on. That's my call.
Okay, here's my call.
Yep.
If the Titans can put 10 points on the board within the first 4 minutes, the Cowboys will put 50 on the board. Because that's how it works.
That's how it works. Yeah. Seems to me like the Titans are in a bit of a bad spot in this game.
I love Big Tino. Everyone knows I fucking love Big Tino. I watch Titans games to see him play, and he's out for the season. The rest of that club can just fucking suck my dick because they're pathetic.
They're just going to burn.
Ah, stuff them. And I'd say that on behalf of Titans fans who must be dead set sick of watching these fucking assholes prancing around on a rugby league field pretending to...
What they should do, the Titans fans, is stop buying the Titans merchandise and start turning up to games wearing the Seagulls merchandise.
Oh, wouldn't that be the best protest ever?
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Ah, that would be so good. The Seagulls were never this pathetic, Andrew.
No, God, no.
Like, the Seagulls sucked, but they weren't pretending like these fucking guys are right now.
They didn't have any million-dollar players in their side?
Nope. They didn't have anyone that was any good in their team, ever.
They busted their asses hard.
They did, and they were terrible, but they tried, and they lost. These fucking guys, there's plenty of very good players in this team, and they suck. And the coach is on big money, and he sucks. and the board doesn't give a shit. Fuck them.
Yep. we're officially out on the Titans.
Yep.
Finally, Raiders versus Eels. Parramatta have won just 6 games in Canberra from the 25 that they've played there since 1991. And over their last 12 games each, Canberra's won 4 games and Parramatta's won 5.
Oh, man.
This is your last game of the week.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I think it'll be really – it'll be one of those games that is, like, fun to watch, but maybe not the highest quality, but still, like, by the end of it, you're like, damn it, I love rugby league.
I'm going Canberra, and I reckon they're going to put a few points on.
Really?
I also think Parramatta will put a few points on. I think this will be one of those games where Canberra might win 40-24 or some weird shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not? I mean, to be honest, what did you see from Parramatta's attack against the Tigers on Monday that gave you any indication that they could beat anyone?
That's a good point, right? Yeah. But here's my thing. The West Tigers ripped in defensively and in attack, right? Mm-hmm. Showed a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that the Canberra Raiders do not have.
True.
There are a bunch of fucking p-hearts down there in Canberra, right? Now, granted, it's played at 6:15 on a Sunday night in Canberra.
Yeah, so the temperature at 6:15 will be about a beautiful 21 degrees, but within about 12 minutes it'll be minus 32.
Yeah.
As soon as the sun dips over the edge of the stadium, Dawn will be snowing.
Yep, 100%. No one wants to be in Canberra at 6:15 on a Sunday night. Nobody. I'm not talking about this football game. I'm talking about no one. Yeah. Why do you think Albanese keeps taking planes out of there? Right?
I've been to the school in the snow, but you know what? Nothing has chilled me to my absolute soul more than a cold breeze in Canberra.
Canberra nights were so fucking cold. I had to spray saline up my fucking nose. It would dry out and freeze so badly.
Yeah.
Canberra. I'm going for Parramatta. Fuck them. I'm really not happy with some people today. Also, Ricky Stewart. Fuck him too.
Well, I thought we'd made an agreement that we wanted to see Canberra do well.
That we what?
We wanted to see Canberra do well for a reason, remember?
No, I can't remember what the reason was.
Oh, the phone call we had.
The phone call we had? What did we say? You're going to have to remind me after the podcast.
Well, I mean, I could just reveal it all here.
Okay.
Now that we've gone this far.
Okay.
I called Freaky during the week. Operational matters. But anyway, we started doing a podcast because that's all we ever do is fucking podcast.
Yeah, we actually said it. We're like, we're burning a podcast here.
Just sometimes we press record, sometimes we don't.
What was it we ended up looking up? We ended up looking up something.
I don't know what it is, but you were saying you really, really want to see Canberra go really, really well.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
Yeah, now I remember.
Yeah.
I want to see them go really well. And the worst part about this is you realized I'd researched this vindictive cuntness. So I said I wanted Canberra to go really, really well all year until they face the Panthers and the Panthers take their soul. And Andrew's like, oh, when do they play them next? And Andrew looks at the draw and he realizes it's like round 23 or something.
Round 25, the third round last 25. Round of the year.
Yeah, and I knew this. And I knew how devastating that would be to the Raiders. And I think Andrew, like, it was like he realized he podcast with Hannibal Lecter of rugby league for a moment. He was like, this cunt fucking, he projects his horribleness sometimes.
So I said, so what we really need is for Canberra to be 2 wins clear at the top of the ladder by round 24 and Penrith in second place. And then Penrith wins that game, and they're 1 win. Penrith wins the next week, and Canberra loses there in round 26, and they're both level at the top of the ladder. Mm. Then round 27, Penrith wins and Canberra loses, and Penrith gets the minor premiership.
Mm.
And then we go into the finals. and Canberra would lose in the first week of the finals to the West Tigers, and the Tigers would win 74-0.
Yeah.
And Penrith would intentionally throw their game in the first week so that they could play Canberra in the second week, and then they'd beat Canberra 74-0.
Yeah, we become nasty on the phone, don't we?
What else was that? Oh, that's right. We said the only two losses that they would have prior to the Penrith game would be both against the Bulldogs. And on both occasions, Jamin Salmon would score a controversial match-winning try.
Yeah.
We've got this mapped out. We know what we want.
Yeah. We actually talked about using the ladder predictor to see how we could make this work.
That's right. I didn't get around to that. But, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, what a bunch of cunts.
So you just swung open the garden gate. And I just went, ooh, what's down there?
Yeah, I forgot about that, hey. That's been buried in my psyche. I needed that brought back up again. That's terrible.
I knew a bacon, so I thought you were going to go with me on that one. You were going to back the Raiders to win that. But yeah, the hatred was too strong.
It was too much. It was too much. I started thinking about Canberra, and I was like, no, fuck this, Parramatta. I chose Parramatta. I got nothing against Parramatta. You know, owned by Jerome Luai. Got a soft spot for them. He's their father. But I'm going for Parramatta in this one over the Canberra Raiders. And Ricky Stewart, you know what? If it's 50-0 to Parramatta, if it's 100-0 to Parramatta, Ricky Stewart will blame some other external force for the Raiders.
It'd be the ball boy not putting enough sand in the bucket at the start of the game, and that's what caused the kickoff not to be ideal.
Yeah.
And that's what cost them the match. Yeah, it'd be some shit like that.
Yep.
Yeah, and the ball boy was like a weak gutted dog or something. Why not? He's six. Who cares? What would he know?
He'll end up playing in the 12th straight premiership for the Panthers.
So that's what happened there. I can't remember what else we were looking at, but that's the bit I do remember from that conversation.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
What else has been going on?
That's pretty much it that I can think of. Like, I've really enjoyed the footy this year. It's been great. I'm really looking forward to this week's games. Like, there's so many great games to watch for very different reasons. There's only really one game in there. Maybe the Knights versus Dragons. I mean, that'll be interesting to watch too. You know, I'm trying to like all of these games, there's something there to watch. I'm interested to see what the Cowboys do to that pretend team on the Gold Coast. So, yeah, every single game has got some reason to watch it this week, which is good.
Absolutely it is. So I guess we wrap it up.
Yeah, it's been a good episode, Andrew.
I agree, it has. Just like the 516 previous.
That's what I reckon, hey?
Yeah, well, when two experts agree, there's not much else you can go on there. There was something I wanted to quickly raise as a bit of a lighthearted thing before we wrap it up.
Okay.
I saw a clip taken from a football game. I think it might have been halftime or might have been before the game between Parramatta and the Tigers. Yeah. And Mark Carroll was talking about one of the Parramatta players saying he comes back this week after dealing CTE. With CTE last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I'll just reply with that saying, yeah, he bounced back from death and the ensuing autopsy that detected the CTE, recovered surprisingly fast, not just from the death, but also the cure that doesn't exist yet for CTE really well. Impressive. Mm. 6 Dalian points.
Yeah, it's, you know, some of the commentary is rough.
Yeah, Mark Carroll might be close to the worst commentator at the moment ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still got Flano to battle with and Blocker, but he's putting in a commendable effort to be worse than those two.
I enjoy Blocker's commentary because Blocker is Blocker and you know what you're getting, and it's like it just is what it is, and he's happy and he's watching footy and he says some funny things sometimes, and I think it's just Blocker, so I don't mind it. I like
He did have a period, though, a few years back where he thought his job was to do lots of rhyming slang and say the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it was tedious
It wasn't amusing on his Barry beef and stuff yeah. like that, you know, yeah.
Oh, he's cop one on the Vera Lynn and go, mate, yeah. people today don't know who Vera Lynn is.
Nah, nah.
Just say chin like a human.
Yeah. I like his, especially now, because I don't know, there's something, I can't even explain it. It's just like it's Blocker being Blocker, and I like that, you know. I tell you one funny thing I did a few weeks ago is I put on KO, and I somehow pressed it to play at half speed, and it was the pre-game show, and Michael Ennis was on, right? Michael Ennis talking at half speed sounds like someone who is fucking shit-faced.
He'd be the drunkest human ever.
It really does. Now, you've got to try it. When he's on the pregame especially, I don't know if it works as much when he's commentating, but when he's on the pregame, play your KO at half speed and listen. It is crazy. It is so crazy how drunk he's.
Mike, look at him going to the line here. He draws in that defender. That's a great pass.
He really does. It's incredible. You've got to do it.
Actually, now you've got to test this out for me. Can you watch NRL 360 and see if it has any effect whatsoever on Buzz Rothfield?
If you put it at half speed, yeah, we should see.
It might make him sound more intelligent.
Imagine if it did. Imagine if depending on the speed you played it. Because it was dramatic when I did it with Ennis. Like, I was kind of shocked at how drunk he sounded. Imagine if you played some of the stuff at a different speed if these guys sounded super articulate. And I include ourselves in it. Like, if you play us at half speed, maybe we sound like we're drunk as fuck as well. And if you play us at a quicker speed, which I know some people do to get through the podcast quicker, maybe we sound like we're on coke.
Be to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's possible. It's possible. Mm. Mm. See what that's a fun thing that we've got to get into. I'm gonna have to try and see if I can do that on
Fox cocaine.
Too. Yeah, absolutely. And then put everything on half speed while you're on cocaine. That sounds like it'll fuck with your head a fair bit.
We'll be sitting here doing the podcast going, oh, man, I got this really good idea for a fucking business opportunity. You should listen to it, right? We start spoons and forks, put them together, spork. You know, everyone will be using it. You won't even need one of your cutleries in it. Yeah, it'd be good.
Oh, look, I'm captivated already. Can we keep going? Have you got some more? Well, on that enlightening note, people, thanks for joining us on this episode. Drugs are bad, okay?
Yeah, don't use drugs. I've never used drugs.
Yeah. Make sure you know your limits. What's the gambling one? We can go with that one there.
Put it the gambling one, but for drugs. I think it's don't
go over your head.
The Mitsubishi sign. Oh shit. Oh, man.
Oh,
fuck.
Oh, yes.
I'm leaving
Oh, yeah, that's going to stay there. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Make sure you check us out on all of the socials, and we will catch you all next time.